Have you been in a draft room without a first-round pick?
No. Been with a late first-round pick that we traded out. Had a first-round pick that we traded away for the next year, which I was really pissed off at the time. It was my first year, and it's like, man, have you seen this roster? What are you doing? But it ended up getting us Jamal Lewis the next year, so Ozzie Newsome did the right thing.
That worked out. What do you think the challenges are when you don't have a top pick, first-round pick, but you do have three in the top 86?
It's pretty good because obviously the value in the second and third round and your ability to move around, particularly in what we were just talking about, is a role-specific league now in the draft. You don't just, okay, we need a defensive end. Well, we need an edge rusher. We need a point-of-attack guy. Do we need a hybrid guy? Well, we need a tight end. Well, are we talking point-of-attack guy or a move guy? We need a safety. Well, are we talking in-the-box guy or a back-end guy, a guy that can play nickel and slot? I mean, we keep narrowing it down, and it's tough to get a guy that can do all those. If he is, he's going to go in the first 10, 15 picks. So if I'm going to, you know, role-specific drafting, that's where the second and third round can be very productive.
From a head coach's perspective or a coach's perspective, balancing what we are good at, let's stay good at that and make it even better with, hey, we're not good at this, we got to get better at this.
What keeps my job? Which one's going to keep my job? Because it's great to say the long perspective and down the road. Well, down the road to me is the end of the season because they may run my ass out of town. So whatever it is that we think, you like to have that balance. Right now, every coach, I'm assuming, but like in our room, on the draft room, there's the board and the top 150 and the sideboard. And over here is our roster with the little placards of what we got. And I'm looking over there seeing a whole bunch of holes. Lack of depth at this position. I don't have a friggin' tight end, you know, under contract, that type of thing. So, yeah, you want to fill those holes first. I want to know I can line up in my opener on September, whatever it is. And I'm sitting here without a left guard. I don't have a strong safety. And so you certainly want to address those first, but then you're also looking at talent. Boy, I really like to look at this guy, that guy. I can see him fitting in. So, you know, you're balancing that all the time.
Generally speaking, what are one, two, or three traits you look for starting offensive linemen, guys who can come in and play year one?
That's probably one of the toughest transitions to make. The typical, I want to see a knee bender, not a waist bender. I want to see a guy that has that six-inch punch. I want to see a basic fundamental of understanding of pass protection. We'll teach him the other. If you think and this doesn't appear to be a really – it'll be interesting to see how many offensive linemen actually go in the first round. This could be one of the leanest first-round offensive lines drafts we've seen in a while. That plug-and-play player, there's not but a couple that you can see in that first round. Not that they can't do it with second, third round. But you draft an offensive lineman in the top 15, 20 picks, he's your starter.